to a good start this morning. This is a very interesting kind of a morning, more of a free-flowing service today. And it's good to welcome here two people who have come out of this congregation to enter the UU ministry. Lee Page, you've already met, and a little later in the service, our sermon will be delivered by Bruce Taylor, who is now in the final stages of his pursuit of the Unitarian Universalist ministry. But right now we're going to hear from Magdalene Patantius. Magdalene has been a part of this congregation, I think, since she was, about 3 years old, coming up through our religious education program. And both of her parents have been very active in this congregation as well. His mother, Cynthia, has just finished completing a hitch as the YARE director over at the Peterborough Church. Magdalene's going to talk for a bit about the some of the issues that have arisen within our district concerning our youth programming. She's been involved in that for a number of years, and she asked me some time ago if she could have some time in the service to talk about that and offer some of the both hopes and concerns that they have, and so we decided we would set aside some time in this service for her to do that. So, Michael, it's all yours.
Hello. It's good to be here and to see you all. Thank you for making some time in your Sunday service for me today. I have quite a bit to say, but I'm going to try to fit it all in as best as I can. I'm here today to speak about youth programming, CARMS, and youth empowerment, since it's not something that congregations as a whole seem to know much about. All of you probably know at least one youth within this congregation, personally, if not more, and may or may not have heard about something called youth CARMS. If you have heard of them, then you know that these are week-long conferences that are run six times a year at UU churches within our district by youth 14 to 22 with the mentorship and guidance of four adults and the support and presence of many more. For the past 26 years, CARMS have been the primary thing provided for Unitarian Universalist youth to connect them with other youth within their own districts, and has been an open community to youth who might not even consider themselves a Unitarian Universalist, but identify with the basic principles. Ask any youth in this congregation that's been to a con, and they might tell you that they loved going, it was cool, they met interesting people, or they may tell you something different entirely. Chances are, though, you probably don't have a clear idea of what cons really are or what happens at them. You just know that the youth seem to like them and that they happen in your district, sometimes even taking place in your church. I want to share with you a detailed experience of my first con, so maybe you will have a better idea of what they are and why they're so special. I've been a part of the National UU congregation since 94, and by the time I was 14, I had started attending youth group, and everyone in it told me about cons and how I had to go to them. I asked what they were, but got no response other than that they were awesome and that I would have to come and see for myself. Left with only the enthusiasm of my fellow youth, I decided to go to the upcoming con at the Nashua Church. I got a newsletter that was made by a youth on the district youth council that ran cons and arrived at 7 that Friday night, like the newsletter said to, not knowing what to expect. The familiar art gallery leading to the coffee room and kitchen was lined with piles of pillows, backpacks, sleeping bags, duffel bags, guitars, and all sorts of things conferees had brought for the weekend. I registered with someone named Matt Ditkoff, affectionately called Titty, and introduced myself, gave him my permission slip and $20 for the weekend, and walked into the fellowship room, where about 15 kids were talking and laughing, sitting on chairs, laying on pillows, and on the floor. It was intimidating at first because I didn't know who these kids were or where they were from, but they all seemed really nice, and I began to talk with them. There was a boy there who had long hair, and I was asking him about his socks because he was wearing really funny socks. And he introduced me to a kid named Buckets and a girl named Oatmeal. Not long after, I heard a voice boom, "Orientation," and everyone got up and went into the auditorium, so I followed too. There were about 45 youth and 6 or 7 adults, and there were 10 youth who stood up in front of the whole group and introduced themselves as the DYC. They all had different positions like communications chair, secretary, social action coordinator, introduced to us as the DICSA, outreach, etc. And then they had different positions within the conference. All of these youth that were standing in front of me ran the conference I was about to experience. I was excited and curious to see what the weekend would be like. After the DYC introduced itself, they went over the rules of the conference and did funny skits about how there was no sex or nudity allowed, no drugs or alcohol, no weapons, etc. They talked about what the theme of the conference was and how we would be split up into touch groups, which were smaller groups within the community after orientation was over. Then the DYC had all the new conferees stand up and introduce themselves, say where they were from, and say, if they were a kitchen utensil, what they would be. After we were all split into groups of about 7, each group was given a different colored dinosaur, we met so we could get to know a few people within the community better and could check in. Each touch group would meet at least 3 times during the weekend. The kid with long hair named Seth, or Hayes as everyone called him, was in my touch group. He was leading it because he was on the DYC, and he started off by talking about his stepfather and how he hadn't been getting along with him and how he really didn't like him being with his mother. It was the first time that I had ever heard anyone talk that openly about how they were feeling about their life and what was going on within it. My touch group met for an hour and then someone called worship, and our touch group met downstairs with all the others where we lined up and held hands. We were told that we were going into worship, which was a time to reflect and calm down. And then we were led back upstairs, all holding one another's hands. Catherine Rayburg, a girl from my youth group, was running worship that night. She had lit the auditorium with tea lights and led us into a circle and asked everyone to sit down. She then continued to hand us paper and pencils and asked us to write down 2 of our favorite childhood memories. And she told us that we were going to have a snowball fight. So we crumpled up our favorite childhood memories after we had written them down. And for the next 5 minutes, we threw them at each other's faces and heads, laughing and having a lot of fun. And then we were asked to pick up 2 of them and to read them. When everyone had read them, she thanked us for coming to Friday night worship. And I left feeling more comfortable with the people I was surrounded by and more excited about how awesome this community was. Everyone stayed up late that night, including the adults. There were puzzles, coffee, stories, games, cuddling, talking, laughter, and lots of bagels and bread that were leftovers from a local Panera. I drank Moxie with everyone else and heard old stories about funny old conferees and ate biscuits. Eventually, I went to bed in the quiet room, although there were many kids who stayed up all night talking with friends they hadn't seen for the past 6 weeks. The rest of the weekend was a blur. I had never been in a community such as this one before. All the kids made meals together for the community and cleaned up together too. There were workshops run by some of the youth there about gender stereotypes and a guest speaker from Bridges and Nashua who came to speak about domestic violence. I found myself learning new things I had never even gave thought to before. The whole con went for a walk after lunch in the downtown area, and in the evening we all ate dinner. After, there was a coffee house where whoever wanted could sign up and perform any kind of talent, whether it was music, poetry, jokes, stories, improvised songs, whatever anyone could think of. Later on in my con experience, I would go on to perform myself, reading some poetry and playing rap songs on a kazoo while my friends rapped. I can't tell you how fun that was. Sunday came too soon, and the whole con cleaned the church together and had a closing circle where we talked about what our favorite part of the weekend was and where we ended with a group hug and said our goodbyes. It was an eye-opening experience for me. I had never seen any other community that existed where youth valued and supported one another and, most importantly, loved each other. In 2.5 days, I had met so many kind and interesting people, my age and older, that I couldn't even have fathomed existed. I've now been going to cons for 3 years and have met the most caring and kindest people. They're the kind of people I know that I'll be close friends with 40 years from now and will be reminiscing about when we were young and went to cons. They're the most genuine and honest people I know, and I can't imagine where I'd be without them. It's because of these people that at my second year at Election Con, which is the con where the community elects its own council of youth to run the cons, I decided I wanted to be a part of making cons happen too, and to give back some of what I had received from the community. I ran for communications chair, which is the person that puts out the Boo-Boo-Roo-Boo, which is our newsletter, and got it. It was a huge learning experience, and I got to know my peers a lot better, as well as myself. I learned what it was to be a leader and how to set a good example, and how not to set bad examples. I made mistakes in the DOIC and learned from them, and I'm still making them and learning. But we all are, and know that, and are all right with that. It was this year that I finally realized that this community had empowered me to do what I felt was right in my own life, to listen to myself honestly, and to follow what it was that I truly wanted and believed in. The community that had now become an extended family to me was so open, supportive, and non-judgmental that I couldn't imagine life without it. Many others I had met couldn't imagine their life without cons either, telling me that they would probably be dead, severely depressed, or in jail if it weren't for this group of people. It was also this year that the DYC and all of the conferees realized that they might lose this special community. And not only the current con youth would lose it, but future generations of youth to come would as well. There have been many changes that have happened in the past year. The NHBT district is now the Northern New England district, and YRUU no longer exists. Some of you may have heard that in February 2008, UUA President William Sinkford, in a letter to the YRUU steering committee, announced there would be no further funding for the YRUU at the end of the fiscal year. There is a broad consensus that the current structure for Continental Youth Ministry is not serving our faith well, wrote Sinkford. It is true that Continental YRUU, as we have known it, will be replaced at some point by a new structure that will serve us better. What a lot of people don't know, though, is that this was a decision based upon results they had received from a survey they had issued to youth about 2 years ago, which was very unclear and hard to understand, and many youth didn't get what it was for. Needless to say, it is very possible that their reaction was not necessarily what youth may have even needed. 2 months later, the UUA Board of Trustees announced it would cease its funding for the continental level YRUU activities in June 2008, and refocus its North American youth ministry endeavors. There is now no longer continental youth programming and no current structure to serve the youth. What's been happening on a continental level, we find affecting us here as well. The NNED district has been looking to have more congregationally based youth ministry programming, and since they have no solid idea where to start, they have been focusing on changes they want to make within the NHBT youth cons. Bennett Sherman, the RE program consultant, has told the DYC that youth cons will no longer be able to be run as they have been. She has met with the DYC many times over the past year, telling us that there's new safety policies the DYC and cons will have to follow, based upon the insurance policy that the district has. One of the new policies would change the con age range from 14 to 22 to 12 to 17 or 18. This would completely change the dynamic and atmosphere of cons, not to mention that it isn't even necessary. The district's insurance policy does not call for specific guidelines and rules that must be followed accordingly. The district board has formed their own interpretation of the recommendations made by the insurance company to fit their needs and agenda without having talked with the DYC about it in an equal and clear way. Nor have they taken the time to even explore or see what this community holds and how it functions, and that the DYC has their own interpretation of these suggestions, which does not harm anyone inside or outside of the community. The DYC has been a self-functioning, self-sustaining council of youth, asking and taking very little from the district. We have our own bank account, we take care of registration, food, and any scholarships youth might need who would normally not be able to attend conferences because of the cost. We have had fewer rule violations in the past 4 years than Maine has had, regardless of our 14 to 22 age range and Maine's 12 to 18 age range. The district board is looking to have our cons run more like Maine, where they are largely run by adults, catered and $50 a conference, which makes it a lot harder for kids to come. Eliminating the 18 to 22-year-olds in our community would be extremely detrimental, not to mention it would cut 4 years of programming off for a young adult community that is already not being served within Unitarian Universalism. You may be wondering what is so special about the 14 to 22 age range, and you may think that it's a little skeptical. You may be a little skeptical about the age gap between 14 and 22-year-olds. But the age range is a very special one and essential for maintaining the culture we have built and carried on for so many years. Usually when ROPE's youth move on to youth group within their congregation, cons have a whole new generation of youth that come in. The 14 to 17-year-olds are not quite sure who they are, whom they want to become, and the 18 to 22-year-olds are living proof that you can do and become whatever you want, and that it is possible to get through high school. As youth transition into being young adults, this community is there for them through whatever they go through, be it starting at a new college, dropping out of school, moving to a new home, or losing a loved one. This is the only community I know of that is truly for youth and for helping them progress in a healthy way into being conscious, active, and aware young adults. Also, if the age range were to change, the youth empowerment aspect of cons would be lost. 14, 15, and 16-year-olds might think it'd be cool to run conferences, unaware, though, of the responsibility and time that it would actually take. And 17 and 18-year-olds would be forced into a position where they might feel pressured to take on most, if not all, responsibility. And if not them, the responsibility would land on adult shoulders who wouldn't be getting paid to do the work and put in the time that they would have to in order to make cons successful. The culture, too, would be gone because youth would no longer have 6 or 7 years within this community, but only 2 or 3, which isn't long enough to pass down history and tradition to those who will remember it and make sure to tell it to others and pass it on to the next generation. That is why I'm here today, because there is the possibility of all this becoming reality, and I don't want this to happen without having spoken to the community I came from, the one that helped make it possible for anything like this to exist in the first place. This is the only place I know where you don't have to be what anyone wants you to be other than who you are and who you want to be. It's a place where there is laughter, happiness, community, love, honesty, youth sharing and giving to one another out of the goodness of their own hearts, giving whether it be knowledge, food, or both, giving whether it is the need to feed themselves or the need to feed others. It is a place where youth can create anything they want to, where they can dance, play, cry, joke, learn, be silly, be free of the weight of judgment that most youth receive from school, family, and even friends. It is also a place where the just and kindness of adults is apparent, a place where I personally received hope that not all who are older than us wish to control, contain, and constrain youth from seeing what they truly have the ability to achieve and do within their own lives, for themselves and for others. When I think about this one place that is able to be everything and anything youth want it to be during the time they come together for a weekend, and then the potential for it not to exist at all, on account of people who claim to value the inherent worth and dignity of every living being, on account of the people who claim to believe in justice, equality, and compassion in human relations, and on account of the people, my people, who claim that their goal is one world community with peace, liberty, and justice, it makes me sick. I would be lying if I said I don't doubt Unitarian Universalism and its principles after my experience with the very people who claim to promote it. I come here today to ask you not to let this pass silently and be forgotten. I come here to ask you to stand up for what you believe to be right for your youth within your own communities, whether it's in this one or another, and to stand up for what you believe is right for yourself. If any of you would like to talk, I'll be available during coffee hour. Thank you.